Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Messiah can, Yeshua can, and that's who's going to do it. We're up to Revelation chapter 13, verse 5. Let's see if I can remove these notes without tearing my Bible pages any worse. Verse 5. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. That's what we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. I love that. He was given authority. He doesn't have authority on his own. The Lord allows him for 3.5 years. Because that's what had been prophesied all the way back in the time of the book of Daniel. Those 42 months are 3.5 years or 1,260 days. God gives it to us three ways. 3.5 years or time times and a half of time as 42 months and as 1,260 days. Why would he give it to us in all three measurements? What's the significance or purpose? How many days in a year today? 365 and a quarter, not in the tribulation period. Each month is going to be 30 days long exactly. Each year will be 360 days exactly. That's how 3.5 years or 42 months is 1,260 days. Originally, our years were 360 days. What changed it? Remember in Isaiah when Hezekiah had the earth or had the sun move back by 15 degrees? The earth's axis changed. And the years became longer. What happens in the tribulation period, according to the book of Isaiah, the earth reels to and fro like a drunkard, and we go back to the original axis. And the times go back to 30 days in a month. That's how we know that the tribulation period, which begins on a Yom Kippur, ends on a Yom Kippur exactly 7 years to the day later. Because he gives it to us in years, in months, and in days. But this 42 months in verse 5 is the great tribulation period. Right. Yes, Dan?
Is that what it means when it says, unless those days were shortened?
I think in part, but I think there's more to it. His question was, is that what it means if the days were not shortened, no flesh would survive? I think another thing it means is, if you go back to Psalm chapter 90, where in verse 4 it says, a day is the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. Further down it tells us that last generation will be 70 years, or if by strength, 80 years, and then we fly away. I think he's trying to tell us it's toward the 70 years, not the 80 years. That if we went an extra 10 years, we wouldn't survive it. If you look around the world today, is nuclear war on the horizon? Did Russia just have a failure of a rocket with a nuclear propulsion system, which is why the radiation has scattered so much?
They're up to something.
Yeah, and what are they up to? Why do they need to do that? How far can an intercontinental ballistic missile travel if it's got nuclear propulsion instead of jet fuel? Answer is, it can hit anywhere, at any time. It's got a potentially unlimited range, which means it could circle around this world again and again and again before finally being deployed. We are getting so close that if the Lord didn't shorten the days, then we simply wouldn't survive it. But the great tribulation period, I told you it's given to us in days, years, and months. Let's go to days. Chapter 12, verse 6. Revelation 12, 6. 1,260 days. See that? 1,260 days. in months. Chapter 13, verse 5, 42 months. Somebody's got a calculator. Divide 1,260 days by 42 months. It'll tell you how long a month is. 30 days. Exactly 30 days. And in chapter 12, verse 14, it gives it to you in years. Time, times, and half a time. So it tells us 1,260 days, 3.5 years, 42 months. You think
what was
the
Lord. Revelation
12:14. We looked at 12:6, 12:14, and 13:5 were the three.
Wayne,
yes?
Is there a significance to why when it says times, and half a time, is there like a particular break in, like there's a year, 2 years, half a year?
If so, we don't know. We'll have to wait and see. There's got to be some significance, or God would simply have said 3.5 years. Just like in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, the 70 times 7 years breaks down into three periods. Something like that will happen. I can't tell you exactly what. That's in those details that Daniel didn't feel compelled to write. We'll have to ask about. So what's the significance, again, that God gives us the years, the months, and the days? It's like in the days of Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5, when God wrote on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, it meant not a day longer. How long does the false Messiah have? 1,260 days, not 1,261. And God told him ahead of time, here's exactly how many days. Start the countdown. Verse 6, then he, that's the false Messiah, the beast, etc., opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. He's not a nice guy. We looked at Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, at the pompous words, and we looked at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 12 already. Both of which told us about this little horn who's going to speak pompous words. Pompous means arrogant, prideful.
Like the Pope.
Yes, but we're being recorded, so I will not say it. Okay. But I believe it. Verse 7. It was granted to him, God gives him permission for 3.5 years to do what you're going to do. And he opened his, verse 7, it was granted him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. In the book of Daniel, it told us in Daniel chapter 7, verses 21 to 25, he overcomes the saints for 3.5 years. It says, an authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Except understand in Hebrew, the word kol or all doesn't necessarily mean 100%. It can mean the great majority. Because we know from Daniel chapter 11 that the area that we today call Jordan will not fall to the false Messiah. So that's the exception to the rule. Verse 8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, comma. All is the general rule. Now here's the exception. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Meaning those who come to faith in God by Messiah will not worship the beast, will not take his mark, will not submit to his rule and authority, even to the point of death. They will simply hold their head up high and say, I will continue to proclaim Messiah Yeshua no matter what you do. But those who take the mark of the beast, those who choose voluntarily to worship the beast, they're lost. And their names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We know that's Yeshua, our Messiah. Let's talk about this book for a little bit. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. They are saved. There's nothing Satan can do to take them out of his hand. Their names are written. Revelation 3:5 is the next place that talks about the book that I thought was significant enough to include today. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He who overcomes, we looked at that already, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, shall be clothed in white garments. We're going to see those white robes a lot in the book of Revelation. We've seen them already in chapter 7. We'll see them again in chapter 19. And I will not blot out his name from the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So those that are saved by faith, their names are written in the book, and he will not blot those names out. Revelation chapter 17. Verse 8 is going to sound a lot like chapter 13 of Revelation. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit. Same thing as the deadly wound that was healed. And go to perdition. That's to the lake of fire for eternity. And those who dwell in the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. So they're going to keep looking at the fact that Rome appears to us as having been fallen as an empire, never to stand again, when it's going to be reborn in the last days.
That looks a lot like predestination.
It does, except they've left a little bit out of this verse that they included before, that it's the lamb slain from the foundations of the world. So that is talking about the book, not the people. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Revelation 20, verse 12. This is the great white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Messiah. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. That's Messiah. The book of John tells us that the Father gave all judgment to the Son. And books were opened. One is the Torah, what we should have done. Second is the book of deeds, what we did do. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. That's the Lamb's book of life. If you take any one of us and compare what we did to what we should have done, how do we come out?
Short.
I'm so glad there's a third book. Yep. It says, and the dead were judged according to their works. That's how we know one is the deeds you did. And you're being judged against the standard of what you should have done. That's how we know the Torah is the other. By the things which were written in the books. So that Lamb's book of life is going to be so very important at this judgment. It says in verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Why? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one will ever make it on, gee, look how good he or she was. We all know that. So that book is a very important book. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 13. Back to verse 8 to address Mike's comment. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, that's the false Messiah, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Later in Revelation, they don't include that whole sentence. And verse 9. Verse 9 is so very, very important. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. What's the Lord trying to get us to do?
Listen.
Learn, listen, pay attention.
Pay attention.
Is it okay in the tribulation period to take the mark of the beast and to worship him?
No.
Does the Lord want anyone to do that? No. So the plea is, anyone, please listen. Do not worship the beast. Do not take his mark. Verse 10. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 3 for a moment. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in sympathy with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made good. In other words, he says, I won't believe the rumors that I heard about you. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't say, we're going to take up swords and we're going to fight your guards and we're not going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. They said, our lives are in the hand of God. Let it be as it will be. And that's the way it's got to be in the tribulation period. Back to Revelation 13, verse 10. He who leads into captivity should go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. That is, the saints cannot take up arms and fight against the false Messiah. They must put their faith in God and let God decide whether the false Messiah will ultimately behead them or not. Their faith must not be in the strength of their arms, but in the God who's in control of all things. And he must have the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that says, if it's God's will that we be thrown into the fiery furnace, so be it. Mm-hmm. then that's just the way it has to be. Can you see what faith that's going to take?
I can't think of anything that's worse than being thrown into the fire.
Yeah, I think being beheaded is a lot less worrisome than being thrown into a fiery furnace. But I'd rather not have either, thank you very much, if I can avoid it. So verse 13 says, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. The patience meaning waiting on the Lord. Let him do what he decides to do, because he sees the whole picture and we don't. And the faith of the saints to say, I'm putting my physical body and my life into the hands of the Lord, and if I die, I die. That's great faith. That's true faith.
It is.
Verse 11. Then I saw another beast. This is not the false Messiah. This is the false prophet. Saw another beast coming up out of the earth. The earth refers to Israel. So this man who's the religious leader comes out of Israel somehow. Is he from the tribe of Dan? Is that why Dan is not one of the 12 tribes with the 12,000 in Revelation chapter 7? I don't know. Patience, and we shall see. So then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. He pretends to be a Christian leader. He pretends to be the head of the Christian church in this earth. So to me, it sounds a lot like the Pope, or it's possible that the Pope is the first beast and this is a cardinal. But we'll see. Can't say for sure. Hasn't happened yet.
I don't want to see
it either. Not from here. I want to perch from up above. Yeah, that's true.
Wait.
Yes, Richard.
There is, I don't know if you know, there is a black pope and a white pope.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that?
I am, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was so, thinking that maybe the black and the white pope might have been them, but I don't know. That was just a thought.
Yep. It's all I can say is prophecy is best interpreted how? In hindsight. And we shall see.
So if the Pope is not Jewish, correct?
How do we know?
How
do we know?
True.
Yeah. So, when it says coming up out of the earth, that implies he comes out of Israel. So exactly how this is going to work, we simply don't know. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. So he pretends to be the leader of God's church on earth, when actually he leads the church of Satan, the synagogue of Satan. When will we know who he is?
When it happens.
Verse 12, here's the key. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. He gets his authority from whom? From Satan, who's given the authority to the false Messiah. He's the power behind the false Messiah. So that's why he does the miracles. But he has to be in the presence of the false Messiah to do it, because the false Messiah is indwelt by Satan and has Satan's power and authority. So why doesn't the false Messiah do the miracles himself? Well, Satan can only be in one place at one time, but it encourages people more to have the one they consider to be their religious leader, the one who's leading us to God, to say, now this is your God. As opposed to somebody just standing up and saying, hey, I'm God, remember me, come worship me.
One,
yes, ma'am.
You said that in 11.
In verse 11.
The earth is Israel.
Yep, the sea is the Gentiles, the land or the earth is Israel.
So then the next verse says, causes the earth and those who dwell in it, that's still Israel?
That's going to be the entire world. If we look at it Hebrew, this is going to be the word tevel. And we know that because it says, and all those who dwell in it. So referring to everybody. To worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So pointing back to make sure we understand that that is the false Messiah.
So this person's supposed to receive a deadly wound?
It's not. It said, and one of his heads. Since a person only has one head, we know it's talking about the nations, and it's Rome being revived. Rome appears to the world as if it's been destroyed as a nation, as an empire for 2,000 years almost. But it's really not gone. Its authority is in the Roman Catholic Church, whose leader has two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon at this point in time. And remember, this is after the rapture. So anybody who happened to be saved when the trumpet blew is gone. And everyone left in the church was not saved, or they wouldn't have been left behind.
Hey, Wayne.
Yes?
Do you think that's what it means in Daniel 7 when it says this fourth kingdom will be different than the other kingdoms? Because the other kingdoms were conquered by other kingdoms.
Yes.
Conquered.
Yeah, but if you kept reading, that verse would say, and break in pieces. And I think that's the Roman Empire that's breaking in pieces. Yeah.
But it kind of continues on as something else.
But it continues on in a different form, the Holy Roman Empire, mm-hmm. through the Catholic Church.
Broken, but not.
And then all the pieces that broke off were like Martin Luther and then all the other things.
We'll get to that in chapter 17.
Okay.
It's coming. Is coming. In verse 13, before we quit for the day, I want to look at verse 13. He, that is the false prophet, performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That as he stands up and says, this is the great God who created the heavens and the earth. This is the one we're to worship. And to prove it, I'm going to call down fire from heaven. And fire comes down from heaven.
Kind of like Moses when they did in that part.
Kind of like Exodus chapter 7. So let's turn back to Exodus chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Exodus chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. God bless you. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. God bless you. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. What this is telling us is Elijah in the days of old called down fire from heaven to prove that God truly was God. So the false prophet is going to say, I can do this miracle to prove that my God over here is God. So Satan is a big, what shall we say, imitator. And the miracles that the false prophet will do will be ones that we can turn back in Scripture and look at and go, hey, this was proof that God truly is God. And those who have not believed the truth will be swallowed up in this lie. Yeah. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.